figure my first message here, and God goes, yeah, I want you to do this, and go, okay, cool. God, he wants us to jump in. Through worship, I saw just a flash of an image, and it was a Rubik's Cube with all the colours all messed up. And I saw these hands come in and grab it and just twisted it and turned it and put it. But instead of it going back to a perfect cube, it formed a heart that was perfectly aligned. I said, God, what's that all about? He said, this season has been hard on the soul. There's people here that whose hearts, the colours are all mixed up. It feels like it's all messed up. And he just wants to write that. Sometimes it's a process. Sometimes God, by his Spirit, just comes and goes and touches you. So in the thing of doing things maybe slightly different, I actually am going to ask for that for anyone who actually feels like that's you this morning, that your heart is all a bit messed up. Maybe the whole thing of the COVID over the last 2 and a bit years has just messed with your heart and your mind and your soul, and you just need a touch from God, even to be able to hear the message that I feel like God's put on my heart this morning. Because who knows, sometimes you can be in such a state of internal stuff that you can't even hear the message. I know I've been there. I know God's tried to get my attention many times, but all the stuff has just been clouding it. So I don't want to embarrass anybody. I don't want to do anything like that, but I do know that God wants to touch people's lives today. And I'm starting my time here at MCF on what I believe is one of the most foundational things that Scripture talks about and that Jesus came to do, and that's actually to reveal that you and I are God's precious children. The message of sonship. So if you feel like that message is for you this morning, I'm going to ask, maybe you just stand as we pray. Thank you. Father, as we come into this time of hearing from your word, help me to get out of the way and just your Spirit to turn up right now. But in that image that I saw so clearly of you wanting to just take the colours, line them back up and take our hearts, and as gently and as beautifully and lovingly as you do it, only you know how to do it, I ask, Father, right now for a touch of your Holy Spirit on each of your children here right now. You are the great counselor. You are the great physician. If your children that are standing in this place today saying, I just need you to realign the colours, Lord. They've got out of alignment. I ask, Father, by your Holy Spirit, will you just do your best work right now? Holy Spirit, fill them. Touch them. And I boldly ask for something tangible, that they know that they've had an encounter with you today. We declare your healing emotionally, spiritually, physically. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare. Thank you. If you feel like you need extra prayer at the end of the service, we're going to have a time of prayer. It's something that I really highly value. Open our hearts to hear, Father. Open our eyes to see and our ears to hear your voice as we come together. It's been a fun week, getting to know Karen a little and many others, Pam and a few others, just getting to know, chatting. Bev was great, just to chat, get to know each other a little bit. I'm sure there's a whole heap more to come out as we get to know one another, as we learn to journey one another. I hope I haven't freaked anyone out too much. But yeah, I think it's been fun. Karen's still smiling down the front. I don't know whether it's just the mask on, or whether it's or internally she's going, "Oh, geez, what have we done?" I didn't know really where to start as far as messages, because as I said last week, I haven't spoken in haven't preached for since about 90. When was it? The last service I spoke at for November. Was November, was it? Yeah, end of October I did it online, but actually in person. I think it was even before that. It was actually a prayer of dedication for David and Amanda, who you have to meet, and their beautiful little girl, Jasmine. Had that moment, I went over there, I just felt like I needed to go, and I had to get a Jasmine cuddle. And as I'm sitting there, and just the beautiful smile as she looked into my eyes, I don't know whether she was laughing at my singing or actually pleased to see me, I got no idea, but it was just beautiful. And it was just this moment where I went, you know what, that's what God wants us to be like too. When we look into the eyes of our Father, we should beam, because he beams at us. There's nothing more beautiful than holding a baby and getting a smile back. It's something really, really special. And then I knew Shell needed some cuddles with the baby, because you want to see Shell light up. Put a baby in her arms and she looks like she's just won $1 million. It's precious. But Jesus wants to know each of you. That's how he looks at you. The psalm that we read at the start of at the end of our prayer time, Psalm 139, he knows you. His thoughts outnumber the grains of sand on the seashore. Have you ever actually thought about that? Have you ever tried to pick up a handful of sand and count the grains? I think the psalmist was really wanting to get a point there. You cannot outthink God. And his thoughts for you are not bad. These thoughts for you are extraordinary, because he created you to live an abundant, full life. But as we've already spoken about, life gets in the way and it's challenging and the stuff happens. Right from young ages all the way through. I hear stories about people who've getting, young people. I used to work in student wellbeing. Young people getting bullied at school for all sorts of different things. And those things carry all the way through. I'd probably go around the room and I bet you can remember some of the words that were spoken over you at primary school. The stuff of life, the disappointments, the hurts, the pains, because we live in a broken world. But I believe that God is wanting to do such a work in the life of his church, and not just here at Monbole Christian Fellowship, but his global church. That you and I become so secure in our sonship and daughtership. That people can say, do whatever they want, and you go, you can say whatever you want, but you don't know my daddy. You think you know what's going on in the world, but I know the one who does know what's going on in the world. That created you, created me, that created us. To live in perfect union, John 17, with the Father. I know that that doesn't just change in our mindset with a flick of a switch. I know there's a process. So this week, I'm just doing the sonship message. What does the Bible say about being a son out of Ephesians? And we're going to read that in a moment. And next week, we're going to look a little bit more about the process of becoming a son and a daughter. doesn't change the reality. I'm a son of God right now. But who knows that sometimes you've just got to go on a bit of a process because God's wanting to do something in your heart. And some of that process is really hard. None of us like it. There was prophetic words last week about the well being stirred up and the stuff coming to the surface. And I bet some of you are going, oh, geez, what the heck are we doing? I don't know that I want any more stuff to come up. But the reality is the stuff coming up, actually, if we get rid of it, we get to actually live a more cleaner, abundant life with Christ. Can we just go to the next slide, please, Nathan? I picked up this book this week. It's a book called The Glory Community by Maria Mason. Maria and Phil have a church up in Byron Bay called New Earth Tribe. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, I probably should do something around the sonship thing. And then I opened up the book and it was a quote. And I went, okay, you've got me attention, God. But I read this one this week and I just think it's so, so powerful. A community without the revelation of sonship will plateau in its growth and revelation levels. Might actually, yeah, that's the next one. Yeah, thanks, Nathan. This is usually because human brokenness clouds or obscures the value of our worth and the life of the Spirit is squashed. A little bit what God showed me at the start of the service. The stuff of life squashes, hides, gets us disenchanted, gets us questioning. Is God really that good? And that's why sonship is so important, because we can rise above those things knowing that God's doing a healing and a process in our heart. I thought the next little line was actually really important too. The church is called to heal this wound of family failure, whether we like it or not. Hits raw to me, because the reality is, I think if we're all really honest with ourselves, we actually would like to be able to just come to church, have our nice Jesus moment, walk out and actually be all okay and have a nice cuppa and that was pleasant. But actually what we're meant to be is a healing community. And if you've been around family at all, well, maybe it's just me. Happen to know it's not. Family is probably one of the hardest things we can possibly do, isn't it? Family hurt us the most and love us the most. Sounds like church. So whether we like it or not, we're called to that. And then it says, we are called to speak health, restoration and recovery to the wounded child identity in all of us. That includes you to me and me to you. We've all got it. We've all got some orphan thinking. We've all got some orphan behaviours. But if we actually go on this journey of sonship, we actually get a chance to call out the beauty and the wonder and the God identity that is in every single person. Genesis, it says, let us create man in our image. You ever thought about that when you look at each other? There's the image of God standing right before me. We've got a room full of image bearers. Unique, diverse, beautiful, amazing, extravagantly designed and created. And you're put on earth today for such a time as this. No mistake. I'm going to share a little of my story before I get into the end of my message. Can I just have the next slide, please? Yeah, here we go. So up there, you saw the photos mostly on screen last week, but that's my Pilcher family. Mum and Dad at the front. My brother Graham, his wife Trish. My brother Malcolm, his wife Liz. My sister Jo. Obviously me and the most beautiful woman in the world, Michelle. Photos are great, aren't they? I love that photo, but it also tells a million stories of pain, brokenness, disconnected. That's the first time. That was actually at my, was it Dad's 80th or Mum's 80th? Dad's 80th. First time we'd been together as a whole family group. And there's one person missing because she's part of the Exclusive Brethren, and unfortunately she has nothing to do with us. But it's been a lot of pain and brokenness in there. I was pretty close to Dad and Mum. I came along 15 years after Graham. And I had a very different upbringing from my dad. But my other brothers didn't. My other brothers actually experienced a very cold, harsh man. God did a bit of a work in Dad, and he certainly was not as cold and harsh to me. Although he was distant because he was a truck driver and very rarely home. We also grew up in the Exclusive Brethren, where my idea of Father God was that he was actually in heaven watching all of us as kids going, when are they next going to muck up? There's one. Whack! So it became a behaviour modification program. It became, if I perform well, I'm loved. If I don't, I get whacked. For my family, my older brothers and sisters, it was probably a literal whack. For me, it wasn't quite that, although it was a few times, but not to the same extent. And that's not to denigrate or put my mum and dad down. It's just the reality. And it shapes my view of God. So, became a Christian, and in early years started to serve in churches. Soon saw that there was a bit of talent there, so I was actually given opportunities and opportunities to lead and all of those things that happen. We get married. I got married at 21. We had a baby really quickly. And because I was so performance orientated, I had to keep, things were really difficult, but I had to keep the outside facade looking really good because otherwise God might not be so happy with me. So I served everywhere. Shell would be home with Isaac screaming, and I'd be out serving at the church, and the place I should have been was actually at home serving her. But I was trying to earn my way into a position in the church because I thought if I make it there, I'll be okay. It's not a very good platform. Went to Bible college. Things didn't get a whole heap better till my final year of Bible college in 2019. I had to go away to Hall's Gap for a conference or part of my Bible studies course, and it was there I met the Father. Keith Farmer and Peter McHugh. So Peter McHugh is the senior pastor of Stairway. Stairway, that's it. Yep, the mind just went. And Keith Farmer is he's got a ministry. He used to be a pastor, but now he's got a ministry of mentoring leaders. And he spoke about the unconditional love of the Father. That it wouldn't matter if I was laying flat on my back and I was doing absolutely nothing, that I was loved. And I didn't like that. And I fought it. Until the Spirit of God did such a work in my heart, I remember running out of one session and literally ran out. Up into the hills, back into the bushland behind the place we were staying. And it was like I was running into the arms of my Father. And I knew for the very first time that I was loved, not based on anything I did, not anything I said, not anything I performed, not whether I was a good husband, good, you know, all of those things that you put on as your identity. I was loved. And I've spent, ever since 2019, reminding myself of that, forgetting, being reminded. You know what it's like sometimes, we're leaky vessels, us humans. But that was the start of a journey of me knowing that I was loved by my Father. It was extraordinary. Another moment that made a big difference in my life, and it's the next verse that's on our screen. And it comes out of Romans 3:23. You all know it, I'm sure, if you've been around church any time. For all have sinned fallen short of the glory of God. God said to him, one day, you have more faith in your capacity to sin than you do in my capacity to overcome. That was God giving me a very gentle whack. Well, it wasn't very gentle, it was actually really accurate. Because sometimes we become so sin conscious. What it's actually mean, can we go to the next slide? It's actually meant to be this. Go, yeah. For all have sinned, all of us, no matter who we are, and fallen short of the glory of God. Why does God want us to deal with our sin? Why is sonship so important? It's because the more we deal with our stuff, the more I can become a glory carrier of the King. That His glory can manifest through me. We become the best version of ourselves when we deal with our sin. It does not mean that sin isn't important, because it is, because sin separates us from the love of Christ. It separates us, it clouds us, all the things that we started our service talking about. The sin of humanity, whether it's been committed against us or it's our own stuff, it clouds us, it distracts us, it brings us apart, away, and it drags us away from the reality of being God's children. Sin's not an issue to Jesus for one reason. He finished it on the cross, and we're going to finish with communion at the end of the day. The reason He wants you and I to deal with it, because it's a big issue for us, because it stops us getting to Him. But Jesus paid the price. When He said those words, "It is finished," on the cross, it wasn't just a nice statement. He meant it. I've done everything. I've exceeded the expectations of everything. All sin was laid upon my shoulders. Am I diminishing the power of sin? No way. But I want the power of God to be stronger than my capacity of it, because He can overcome every sin. Everyone. And it's already done. One of my biggest pet peeves now that I've experienced the Father's love is that we do church modification program. You come into church, and then we disciple you to look the same, feel the same, be the same. It's not meant to be that way. We're meant to be a unique, diverse, extravagantly creative group of people with all of our gifts mixes, where you can be completely yourself, Bev, and I can be completely me, and it's okay that you're different, and even if you come to a different conclusion, because actually the two conclusions need to be wrapped up against each other, because if you read Scripture, there's quite often those moments where there is two different views, but they both point to the extraordinary extravagance of who God is. We've got to get over ourselves, church, and start championing the person in front of us, because they're created in the image of God. If the sin in my life and the sin in your life, let's not make a huge deal about it. Let's just deal with it, repent, turn to God, and His grace is sufficient. And then get busy encouraging one another to be glory carriers, to leak Him everywhere we go. And the beautiful thing is, we don't have to do it on our own. Because if I try and do that on my own strength, I fail every time. We do it with Him, His Spirit. How are we going for time? We're doing all right. We'll just read through Ephesians. So I've got one verse per slide, Nathan, so if you just follow me through. You're doing an amazing job, mate. Thank you. The guys in the sound desk and all those IT guys and all that sort of stuff, they don't get enough recognition. What they do is extraordinary. They sit there quietly, and the only time they ever get acknowledged is if there's a squeak or if there is that. Trust me, I've been there, or if it's too loud or too soft or whatever it is. But you guys are amazing. Thank you. You do an absolutely brilliant job. Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us to be in Christ, to be holy, without fault in His eyes. You want to cross-reference that? think it's 2 Corinthians 5. We are righteous because of the work of Christ. Not because of anything you do or I do, just because of him. It's mind-boggling. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. You ever thought about the cross giving Jesus pleasure? The pain, the agony, the suffering, being separated from Father for the first time, gave him pleasure because he knew what the outcome would be, that you and I would sit here at Mombel Christian Fellowship today and we would know that we're loved and we're his kids. So we praise God for the glorious grace that he poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of the Son, of his Son, and forgave us our sins. He has showered us with showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysteries while regarding Christ. Which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is his plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews who were first to trust Jesus would bring praise to the glory of God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit of God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. If you don't read any other passage of scripture this week and you just meditate on that passage of scripture for every day and get a little bit out of each verse, you'll probably come away richer because of it. Wisdom, understanding. In some version, it talks about the lavish grace. He lavishes his love on us. Doesn't hold anything back. He wants to reveal the mysteries of all of who he is to us, because we're his kids. My kids don't actually have to ask to have access to the fridge or the food cupboard at home. Lodge makes sure it's empty regularly. I want to see a boy eat, my goodness. But I also don't mind feeding him because he's my boy. I'll go without stuff to make sure that my kids have stuff. And God's saying, I've got everything and I want to give it to you. I think I was talking to Pam this week, and it's one of my favourite sayings, but God's got your photo on his fridge. Pam goes, must be a big fridge. And I went, yeah, it is. He's got your photo there. He's got you. He's thinking about you. He's looking at each of us and going, gee, I wish Jason would just deal with that little issue that keeps on cropping up, because it's stopping me from being able to do a little bit more in his life. I wish Jason had stopped doubting whether I love him so much. Because if he just knew, because he knew, because he knew, because he knew, because he knew, and there was nothing that could come against him that would stop him from knowing that, he wouldn't get battered around by all the stuff of the world. And he wants the same for you, and he wants the same that, because he wants us to live a life. Next slide, please, Nathan. He wants us living a life knowing that you are chosen, loved unconditionally and empowered to live a life of freedom, because there is freedom when you don't actually need the affirmation of anyone else but your Father. If we're looking for our affirmation from anything else other than God, we'll always have insecurities. There will always be something. But when it's only coming from our Father in heaven, nothing can rob our joy. Nothing can rob. From our youngest in the room through to the oldest person in the room. I want you young people to know there is no junior Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit that's in me is in you. It's extraordinary for all of you. I'm going to play a song now before we have a time of communion. You'll love this one, Annie. It's your favourite. It's a song called No Longer Slaves. The reason I've chosen this song, there's a few lines in here that are really powerful. But there's a little bridge part that says, I probably should have the lyrics in front of me so I quote it right. But our fears are drowned in perfect love. And it uses a bit of the analogy of Moses crossing the Red Sea when the Egyptians were chasing him down and the Red Sea came back over and it drowned them. That's what God wants to do. Doesn't want to just park it over here somewhere. He doesn't want to do that. He actually wants to eradicate the fears. He wants to eradicate all of the insecurities. He wants them to be wiped from the east to the west, I think it says in the Psalms. Why? Because the enemy knows how to pick stuff up and keep on bombarding with it. Because let's be honest, we've got an enemy of our soul that does not want you or me to live in the freedom that comes from being sons and daughters of God. We've got an enemy of our soul that seeks to devour, to actually remind you of every little thing that could possibly go wrong or has gone wrong. And as we go on a journey and you get used to me as a pastor and I get to know you guys and that, the enemy's going to have a crack. Don't you worry. Because if we're saying we want to be a people that want to follow God, that want to stand in his promises, we've got a giant target and the enemy goes, I like giant targets, I'm going to give it a go and see where I can get a foothold. But imagine if we as a community were so secure in our sonship that he could throw anything we want and we know each other and I see a dart coming towards Karen and I jump and I go, no way, that's not getting there. And we do that for each other. And if one does get through, we just quickly deal with it, get on with it, see the healing of God. Because he just goes, bam, healed. There was a word last week, don't look to left and right, don't look back, look forward. That's what this means, to be able to do that. Is it going to be some rocky roads? Yeah, because I'm different to what Bruce was. But that's okay. You're different to the congregations I've led before too. And we all get to grow together. And we'll get some things right and we'll get some things wrong. That's the beauty of grace. But if we're secure in our sonship and I've got your heart and you've got mine, because our Father's got our hearts and he wants to knit us together, we don't have to be slaves to fear. We don't have to be slaves to what has been and what will be. We just get to choose to come under the lordship of Christ. Be a slave to him because I've chosen to be, not because he enforces it. I love the vision of this particular song. It's a song that was written by Jonathan and Melissa Hasler. But the song version I've chosen is today being done by an artist called Zach Williams. Got a little bit of a country twang, which I kind of like, which sounds really weird to me actually admitting that, because that might get me stoned, I don't know. But he also is doing this. He's singing this song from Harding Prison in the US. And you'll see prisoners singing the words of this song. Can we have that and then we'll take communion.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. Oh, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. You are. Child of God.
the sea so we could walk right through it. You drowned our fears in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. Each week, and I'm really pleased that as a community, each week we take communion. And I'm not sure who actually hands out the communion elements, but if we can get that done, that would be fantastic. Because the simple reminder that Jesus said, as often as you are gathered in my name, take and remember me. For some of you, you may need to do it during the week, at home, on your own. Maybe you have a friend over. Got to be honest, I'm not very good at, I've got to remind myself to do it with Shell, probably more often than we do. But as often as we gather, there's no set religious thing that you, those things, and I because we need the constant reminder of the broken body and the blood of Christ that was shed for you and for me, so that we could have a relationship with the living God. It's as simple, yet deeply profound. I don't know you as a community fully yet, and I felt like it was really important for me today to do two things. One, we're going to take communion together and we're going to do that. But if you have never met Jesus, if you have never actually surrendered your life to Jesus, today's a really good day. If you've never actually said, God, I make you Lord of my life, come, forgive me of all of my sin, then today the invitation is there for you. The second one is, if you're feeling distant from the Father today, if you go, yeah, I get the Jesus thing, I like the Holy Spirit, makes me feel good, but Father God, oh, there's some stuff there, a lot of people struggle to actually relate to God as Father. He would like to step through that stuff today and actually go, let me embrace you, my son, my daughter. And so as we finish our service today, we take communion together. If you are in either of those camps, whether it be that you just need, I need to realign my life to the Father. I just want to rededicate my life to living as a son. There's some stuff there, Father, I need you to reveal to my heart. We want to pray for you. So I'm going to invite Karen and the elders to join us to pray with anyone who needs that this morning. If you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, and you want to begin an intimate and personal relationship with Jesus Christ, can I encourage you not to walk out this door today without doing that? Because the invitation is there. And it's free and available. And the Father wants you to know how loved you are. So I don't make any assumptions that every person in this place has accepted Jesus. Neither do I make any assumptions that every person is walking really closely with God. And I can guarantee you as your pastor, there may be days that I need you to pray for me. Because we just get to be family and live this out together. I don't want this position of pastor to be elevated any higher. I'm just called to lead and to be here, but I'm no different to any of you. So please don't elevate the pastor to anything, because I will let you down, I can guarantee it. But we get to walk together, sons and daughters. And as we mature, we become mums and dads that raise children, that become mums and dads, and we continue the journey of why we're sitting here some 2,000 years after Jesus left the earth. It's because of that cycle. But even if you become a mum and dad or a grandpa and grandma in the faith, it doesn't stop you being a child of God. You're always his kid. So let's pause and let's take this together. I'm not sure what your normal routine would be, but let's just, as you take this and this little symbol of the biscuit in front of you, of the broken body of Christ, and then as you drink that his blood washed away your sin, and he had pleasure doing it, not in a, yeah, this is great fun, but he knew what the outcome would be to go through the journey would be that you and I can be called sons and daughters of God. Let's eat and drink. That you spared nothing so we could be called the sons and daughters of God. We can be called into a right relationship with you. And not because of anything that we have done, we are holy and blameless in your sight, because of the work of Jesus on the cross, when we accept that gift of salvation. We thank you for the cross. Can't even imagine what it would be like to go through that. For you, Father, to watch your Son. For you, Jesus, to die there with all the pain and the humiliation, and yet have pleasure in your heart knowing what you were about to, what was about to happen. And thank you, Father, and thank you, Jesus, that you gave us your Holy Spirit to take up residence in our hearts so that we can approach you boldly and that together we can actually live out this amazing journey called being your body, your church here on earth.